And we are recording. If you could just tell me your name and how long you've lived here.
My name is Andrea Peters Rush, and I moved here in October of 1979.
So why did you move here?
Well, my husband and I thought we were coming to take care of his parents. They had a property that they'd lived at since 1939, and maybe before then, his grandmother, his mother's mother, bought property up on Second Hill in 1929, and it was 100 acres. She had three living children, and so all the property had been divided up amongst those three and their issue.
Okay.
So anyway, we came here in 1978, and Bob's parents said, well, who would like to come and take care of us? Not so much boldly stated, but intuited. He has a brother who was living in New Hampshire with a considerable amount of property and a family, so he was already committed somewhere else. His sister lived in Massachusetts. She was doing her thing. She did not want to move. Bob and I had no children. We wanted to live in the country. He had grown up at this house his whole childhood, so he wanted to come back and experience New Milford. And I couldn't wait to get to the country. And when I moved here, I thought I had died and gone to heaven.
Why?
So much green, so much wildlife. Where we live off of Second Hill, at that point in 1978 and the beginning of 79, there were acres and acres of pasture land. And we used to call these fields the flying saucer fields because we thought if a flying saucer ever came down, this is where they would land. It was just beautiful. Well, shortly thereafter, and I don't know how shortly, we'd have to look in the history books, but Ferdinand Marcos, the president of the Philippines, died. Next day, there were surveyors crawling all over those fields. We didn't know that it had been owned by a Filipino holding company.
Holy crow.
Yeah, so all the property up on Mine Hill in New Milford, where the mayor lives, all those houses, within 5 years, there probably were 75 houses up there. And boy, did that twist me. But what could I do? I didn't own all that property. We have 20 acres down off of a dirt road. My husband was very active in the scenic roads movement in the 80s to keep the dirt roads dirt.
And why?
Because it's scenic. Because that's why we liked to be in New Milford. Although there aren't that many miles of dirt road, but that was our part of New Milford.
I heard from someone, and you actually might be able to correct me on this, that New Milford has the most dirt roads in the state of Connecticut.
That I do not know. I could find out and inquire, but I don't know that.
So why do, and this is sort of getting higher thinking, I guess, but why do dirt roads, like why do that mean they mean scenic to you?
The dirt roads have beautiful trees, usually stone walls. That's what in the scenic roads ordinance it's been stated. You can't take stones away from stone walls.
That's great.
It's wonderful, and we frequently find people parked next to our stone walls with their trunks open. So we have to go out with a big stick. Say, can't do that.
Now, the road you live on, is it just like your driveway, or is it actually an old road?
No, it's an old road that goes down to the Chepauk River.
Fabulous.
And the farm down there was called Judd's Bridge Farm.
Oh, okay.
And the Chepauk runs right through it. My husband can remember whether it was the flood of 55 or whatever that big storm was that happened. He said there were runnels in Judd's Bridge Road going down to the river that were at least 10 feet deep.
Oh, wow.
And very wide. So for him, as a kid growing up, this was just an ideal place. His father was a teacher in New Hampshire at a private school, so they had housing up there. But when they came here, it was in the summer. Mm-hmm. And so the kids had just a great, great time. Yeah, it was wonderful.
So had you visited here prior to... No, so this was your first time.
Well, I had visited with him when we were dating, mm-hmm. and he would take me out at night and drive around, and I thought, how does he know where he's going? There are no road signs. There are no street lights. There's nobody to ask.
Right.
So it was pretty amazing to me to just come here. And the interesting part for me was the house that we would stay at, which we subsequently thought this is going to be our property, was an old tobacco barn.
Oh, wow.
Elsewhere, you know, and another place on the property. And my in-laws took it down and then re-erected it with the outside in. So the textured and weathered boards are the inside.
That's awesome.
It really is a beautiful place. And it's called the Quid. And they have quids of tobacco leaves hanging in the corner of the living room. And a quid is yay by yay, mm-hmm. just a sheaf of tobacco leaves. So,
and this is the house you live in?
No, not now. No, no. So my in-laws welcomed us, but at the same time, they were building. They had property down the road, and it was a 100-year-old apple orchard, mm-hmm. 25 acres. And my father-in-law had come into some funds, and he really believed in alternative energy, and he wanted to build a solar house because he said, if no one invests, it's never going to go anywhere. This was 1978. So my father-in-law found builders, and they had built a couple of other places in Roxbury, and they had designed and built these solar panels. Well, my father-in-law signed the contract with the builders, and then he and my mother-in-law promptly took off for California because it was too cold here. So, and they had property out there. So they left my husband in charge of the building. Now, my husband is not a contractor. He's not an architect. He's not a construction guy. He's just a guy there looking out for his parents' well-being and their thoughts. It was a fight every single day. And admittedly, he didn't sign the contract, so they didn't need to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. But ultimately, we got screwed.
No.
They designed the solar panels, which is basically an easy design. There were pieces of aluminum, and the aluminum came on a roll, probably about 18 inches wide. And they would take the aluminum off the roll, and they'd cut it to a certain length, which was the dimension of the panel. And then they would crimp five of these pieces of aluminum off the roll together. That made one panel.
Okay.
When the aluminum came off the roll, it had a greasy film on it. And so when they made the panels, instead of washing each panel that was constructed before they put the covering on it and before they painted it black and put the cover on, they didn't wash it with muriatic acid or anything to cut that grease. So they sprayed these panels with the black paint and then put the Kevlar on top of it. The minute the sun hit that paint, it just peeled right off. So here was a system. It was basically a forced hot air system. The sun heated the panels. The hot air in the panel would be sucked down through a series of ducts by a solar air mover and then pushed into a solar rock box, which would retain the heat, and then wherever you called for it in the house could be done by these dampers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the solar air mover with these two dampers broke. Company was in Colorado. They went out of business.
Oh, no.
Couldn't get anybody to fix this. I think that an HVAC person would have been able to do something about it. But that was then, 35 right. years ago.
Right.
Technology has improved. But I always felt that this was a basic sound design. It was the execution that was faulty.
Right.
So we've been very fortunate. Okay, so after all this panel stuff and everything went on, the parents came back from California. We were living in their house, the old tobacco barn. And finally, my mother-in-law said, I think it's time for you kids to go to the new house. And Bob and I kind of looked at each other and said, well, wait a minute. Wasn't that supposed to be your house? And my mother-in-law said, well, I've spent 40 years of my life beautifying this place. I'm too old to start over. You take it. My father-in-law's jaw just went to the floor. We were extremely grateful, as we should be, but I felt sad for my father-in-law, who had wanted this project. Obviously, he didn't want it so much that he wanted to stick around and see how it went, but be that as it may, we've lived there since 79, and we heat with wood. We had a great Vermont casting stove that lasted for 30 years. We face south. We have a greenhouse attached off the kitchen, which is basically a heat sink.
Mm-hmm.
We have triple pane windows, but of course they're 30-something years old now, and they aren't so efficient, so we have to be looking at replacement for that. But basically, we raised two kids and chickens, pigs, goats, sheep. We've had a really nice time there.
So what was your like expectation versus reality of coming? So where, actually, first off, where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from outside of Boston.
Okay.
A town called Arlington.
Okay, so more urban.
Oh, way more urban.
What were your expectations versus reality of coming to this small town?
Couldn't really get to know the town because for the first time in many years, my whole life, I wasn't working. I didn't have a job. I'm mm-hmm. stuck in this house with no car and no way to get to any place if I knew where I wanted to get to.
And just to be clear, I mean, for obviously because people, not everybody who's going to be listening to this knows, I mean, that's a long ways up. That's quite a ways from the center of town.
Right. It's 3.5 miles from town. And Bob had gotten a job at Whiting's Dairy Farm across from the old Volkswagen place, and he was milking 3 times a day.
Okay.
Now, he was a photographer in the city, in Boston, and so he said, well, you know, you don't have a job. I guess I'll have to find something.
Wow, so, what a culture shock.
Yeah, totally. So I have no job. I have no car. I have no friends. And you forget when you've lived in a place. And I lived in Massachusetts for 33 years. How long it takes to find your friends. When you move to a new situation, I really didn't know what or where. My mother said, of course, go to church, join the Women's Guild. They weren't really my milieu because they all had kids. I had no kids. So then somebody said, well, you know, how about a food co-op? So lucky me, I had gotten a job at the pantry in Washington Depot, mm-hmm. and Sam Averill was making whole wheat bread there, and I was hired to be the other kind of baker, because that's what I did in Boston. And he said, well, I know some people that are going to start this food co-op. So I had to be interviewed to join this food co-op, and I was like, what? But they were all anti-nukers. They had all been arrested up in Seabrook. That, you know, they'd done a lot of politically active stuff. I was not. I was just looking for cheap, good food. That was basically my story. But that became the people that I met. And it was a little disconcerting because the women that were in the food co-op, I really liked them. They were bright, articulate, committed, interested in things that I was, but oh, no, they had already bonded, and they had no more room for new friends. So I said, Okay, so I just kind of, I started volunteering at the Indian Museum in Washington. I volunteered at the library.
This library?
Yep. What else did I do? And I think that was my intro to people. Mm-hmm. The first person I met at the library was Barry Kavash. And she hadn't written her book on Native harvests yet, but she was obviously very committed and interested in that kind of stuff. So she was a wonderful intro to the natural way. And then the co-op was another intro. And so from these situations, I kind of finally found some people.
So you have actually, you reference a lot of Washington organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Two out of three. So I talk to a lot of people about community maintenance, and that's sort of a word that I keep bringing up, and it's things that organizations, events that sort of help to maintain our feeling of community. And actually, before I ask you that, how long did it take you to feel like you were part of New Milford? Do you feel like you're a New Milfordite now?
Well, I guess I've lived here longer than I've ever lived anywhere else, so I don't feel native. I feel sad that I didn't know New Milford even in the 50s or 60s, just the buildings. I'm a member of the Trust for Historic Preservation, and it just breaks my heart to think of the gorgeous buildings that we had and we just let
go. So you think New Milford is less special than it was in the 60s?
Well, it's hard for me to know because I wasn't here. I think that, you know, life has just changed so much for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Witness technology and how that's impacted people. More cars, less open space, less rural life. I mean, there were, when my mother-in-law used to say when she moved here in the 30s, there were, I don't know, 35 dairy farms. What's left?
There are dairy farms left. Kimberly's.
Yeah.
There are two, I believe, in town.
Well, I think George Whiting still has his cows.
Yeah.
But I can't really, I mean, I guess he does milk and he sells the milk. So there's a dairy.
But Kimberly's is very successful
yep,
now.
Yep, and he's working hard to make his farm viable.
New Milford actually won an award a couple of years ago because of the farmland preservation movement.
Well, just think of the Egg and I.
Right.
I mean, he got so much flack for having a pig farm.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the chickens, but the pig farm. And he worked hard with the legislature, I remember, because we used to buy eggs from him for the co-op, and he'd give me all this stuff, and he said, I'm at Hartford, I'm telling them, you know, farmland preservations. We were here, and no farms, no food. That
right.
was big before you get the bumper
yeah.
sticker. He said, so, you know, the cows have been here, the pigs have been here, the sheep have been here, the chickens have been here. You don't like the smell of shit? Don't move here. I'm sorry that you bought a McMansion across the street from the pig farm.
There's a right to farm ordinance now too, which is fabulous.
Yeah, and I think he was big on trying to get that passed. It was important for him.
It's really important. I mean, it's who we are as a community in many ways,
right.
too.
Well, it's who we were, are we still. I think it's wonderful that Fort Hill and the weeds at Sunny Valley that are bringing the farmers markets and really trying to get back to that Sunny Valley or whatever it is, Sullivan Farm mm-hmm. on 202, and the Kimberleys and whoever else can, you know, even Bob Gundelsberger. No, not Gundelsberger, what's his name? Bob Gambino
mm-hmm.
with his flowers and plants and herbs and things. I think the world is moving so fast that there was not time for farmers, and now people are realizing we'll have no food if we don't take care of our farms and
Absolutely.
Our farmers.
I think that's why you see a lot more small-scale farms too, which
mm-hmm.
is just so special.
Yeah, yeah. And so maybe it's coming full circle, and it's a different kind of circle,
right.
with different parts, but Farming, I don't think, will ever be as important in this community as it was, or anywhere.
No. Anywhere in New England, at least. Well, this part of New England.
Yeah.
So, I guess in what you're talking about, I sense a feeling of a loss of community, even though maybe it's not even a community you knew, right?
Right.
And I guess I just... Despite that, I'm wondering if there are things, events, organizations that really... that made you feel connected to the community. So the example I always use is... So when New Milford had its 300th anniversary, mm-hmm. right? So I'm one of these silly families that have been here forever and multiple generations and...
not silly, lucky.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, everybody's entitled to their community. No mm-hmm. one owns that.
Mm-hmm.
But sitting there with, you know, three generations, sitting around... hundreds of people are there to celebrate a community. I think that's really special.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have talked about the parades in town as being really special. The library as an organization has made them feel more linked to the community. Many people just reference the green. I mean, what mm-hmm. is there something that just has meant the world to you in connecting to this community?
The library has always been extremely important. It was when I was growing up. I could walk to the library. I spent all my time in the library. I'm a book person, and mm-hmm. I just feel very comfortable in the library, which is why I wanted to volunteer. And I've been very grateful to have been doing that for years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been volunteering with the soup kitchen for 25 years, maybe more. So those are the and church, and those are the organizations that I've given my time to that help me feel a part of something right. in this community.
So I had a question in my head and it escaped me.
I've never lived anywhere. I mean, I lived in Arlington till I went to college, so right. that's 18 years. But I always envied people that had summer houses, that they always went back to the same place every year, that they would have that sense of community with their summer people. And I never had that.
Do you feel like that's created, or do you feel like that's actually... a reality? Like, do you feel like they just end up feeling that way because, you know, I mean, do you think that can happen after 3 years of coming back and forth?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I do. And I look at my mother, who is 101 and a half, and she went to a certain place every summer, and it meant a great deal
right.
to her.
Right.
And friendships that she made back then were important to her.
Yeah. So how have you seen the town change?
I can't say that it's a positive thing. I just see more traffic. I just see people not being as kind as I would have thought 30 years ago. People don't have time. People don't take the time to be kind, to notice what they can do for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all about me and how fast I can go and how big I can get. And I don't say that that's only New Milford, but
right.
that's my experience, that at the expense of others, people are doing what they want to do, not for the good of the community.
And do you feel as though there's a lot of frustration toward the community, too, for what it's become?
Well, you'd have to take responsibility. Everybody is a piece of this community, and if you want it to change, you are the change.
Right.
So, you know, working with organizations that mean something to you, that can contribute to the town, this Trust for Historic Preservation, I don't live in a historic house. Most of the people on the board live in historic homes, so I feel they have a much more vested interest. But I've always been interested in these old homes, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, you increasingly have to have deeper and deeper pockets to maintain mm-hmm. this historic piece of New Milford.
Right.
Do you have a historic home?
I do.
You do? Ooh. Ooh. Well, may this make you lots of money.
So, your husband was milking cows. What did he do after that?
Just left. No, actually, I got a job at the pantry, so he didn't have to do that anymore.
Okay.
And then I got a job at Danbury Hospital.
Okay.
And because we needed health insurance, and then we had two kids, and he became Mr. Mom and worked wedding photography on the weekends.
Okay. For some reason, I thought your husband worked at Canterbury for some reason.
No.
Okay.
Our kid went to Canterbury,
okay,
so you might have seen him up there a lot and
okay.
hanging around the rink. Our rink rat.
So this is sort of the question that I ask everyone, and it's a big question, so feel free to take a pause, but what's your ideal New Milford? If you had, you know, a magic wand 50 years down the road, you can make it exactly what you would hope it could be 50 years down the road, what would it be?
I would like us to be known for a really excellent school system. Because kids are the future. And if we don't invest in our teachers to make our academic programs the best they can be, instead of cheaping out and paying the least that we can get away with for the least experienced teachers, I don't see us really being a shining example. My magic wand would actually be to take us back 50 years. Less cars, less traffic, less people.
Okay. I think this is perfect. Are there any memories you wanted to add? Anything specific? Thoughts about Village Fair Days or specific events? Village Fair Days is just an example.
Right. I did participate in the 300th anniversary of New Milford. I was on the dessert committee and I made Indian pudding.
Oh wow!
And so that was fun, and I met some people through that. But again, I think church has been, I've met a lot of people through church, but I haven't really joined organizations at church,
mm-hmm.
but I just know people.
Right.
And that's okay.
And don't you feel like there's still a lot of times that sense of walking downtown knowing quite a few people?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that's what, so something that really occurs to me, and forgive me for rambling a bit, but like, so I expected to go into this hearing a lot of negativity about New Milford. And I've actually asked some leading questions, hoping that I'd hear, not hoping I'd hear negativity, but expecting that I'd hear it. I think there's still a lot of people who love this community. I think a lot of people's frustration about it shows that they love this community. It's an investment.
Right, and if you didn't care, you wouldn't be mad.
Yeah.
That things happen. I think, politically, I think New Milford has been very short-sighted in many, many areas. They're looking at the short view rather than the long view. Well, hey, you didn't want Walmart? Stupid. You shot yourselves in the foot because now all that taxable property, oh, it's a church. We get nothing.
Right.
And this seems to be the way it's gone over and over. I'm not unhappy that the mayor pulled out of the Panda energy program because you're wanting to increase the beauty of the riverside.
Right.
And the river trail. And you took down all those trees and got rid of all the garbage. And now you're going to make a beautiful path. Why would you want to pollute the whole area? This is a valley. I remember my pediatrician saying, they burn at that waste management place. I'm out of here. This is a valley. What do you think is going to happen to people with respiratory issues?
Right.
This is, so looking at the money that could have been generated by this power plant at the expense of your public's health. I just felt that was really short-sighted. And it just was another example. I don't know all the ins and outs, but emotionally that's what I'm seeing, is that, okay, we need revenue. Okay, I don't have the answer, but there's just not full disclosure in town government, as there isn't in the country's government. And, oh my Lord, don't get me started on that one.
What do you think about the, this is getting political, but I'm just curious, what do you think about the commuter rails coming to town?
Oh, well, Bob has been active in the rail service restoration for, probably 30 years. I don't see it happening, because each time it gets close, they say, well, let's do another study. Oh, that is tantamount to let's waste more money on interviewing people to see, would you take the commuter rail? That could be a fix, but commuter rail, the rail is owned by a private company. They're going to have to spend a lot of money. Yeah. Is it realistic? I'm not sure, but it would solve some problems, but you don't get without paying.
Right.
So we'd have to invest in a lot of infrastructure, but I'm for it. You know, I don't think we're going to look like Brewster at all.
No.
And that was the former mayor's problem with it.
Has this come up time and time again, this proposal for commuter rail?
Well, they've been trying to get, I think Bob rode the last train up from New York City in 1971 or 1972. And so probably since 79 or 80, they've been trying to get this moving.
Okay. No pun intended.
Right. It would be helpful. It would be very helpful.
Yeah.
And even if it goes from Bethel to Canaan, it's still something that people could use.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Well, this is perfect.
Okay.
And I really appreciate you coming down and talking to me. Tell your friends, family.
Okay.
And I'm going to turn this off now.
Okay.